Fall in the Carolinas. Yes, it is official, and we're celebrating that here on the Carolina Outdoors. What does fall mean as we get closer and closer to October? Our podcast listeners may be in October, as far as we know. It means that in the Carolinas and across the Southeast, the foliage change is just beginning. So we're preparing for that. Of course, also football season and all that that means celebration-wise, pardon me, is part of the season change. We've already had topics like dove season and opening day and that first segment continuing in both Carolinas. But it also means that in the Carolinas, a program, especially in North Carolina, started in 1992, the Delayed Harvest Program, and many of the hatchery-supported waters get new fish in them. A restocking, if you will. In the delayed harvest sections, that is catch and release only. There's 32 plus different waters across western North Carolina that you can catch and release fish in those streams until June. What does that mean for us anglers? It means that we can travel a little bit less than before to access trout waters, cold waters, and enjoy the spirit of fishing, and of course at Jesse Brown's, fly fishing. But where do those fish come from and how are they raised? There are three different cold water fisheries in North Carolina, or hatcheries, pardon me. There is the Marion State Fish Hatchery, there's the Bobby Setzer State Fish Hatchery along the Davidson River there, and Armstrong State Fish Hatchery. They have raceways and access to water and feed and raise catchable sized trout that they are about to stock in North Carolina. So, hey, we've got the Berg Mangler here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to bring him on. He knows about fish hatcheries and how to raise a trout and other cold water fish that may be raised by the state. So we're going to bring him on to talk a little bit about this. Dave, did I cover at least the intro before we get into how to raise a trout?
Yeah, you did a fantastic job. Yes, you did. So, Bill mentioned there's raceways. So, what a raceway is a big concrete run. It's usually about, I would say, 3 feet deep. And it's going to be all run on gravity, just like a river, right? So, water runs through it. There's no pumps. What happens is you connect to a river, and the water runs through all the raceways. So these trout are getting actual fresh river water. And then it runs through all the raceways and then runs back out into the river. And the pollution is monitored and everything so that the water that comes out of these raceways is usually not very dirty. It doesn't have too much bad nutrients in it because it's all, you know, all the fish are being raised in this river water. And they're also getting some access to some of the foliage that most trout would, I shouldn't say foliage, forage that some trout would get in the wild. So when the state raises fish the same way, so on these raceways, you have the river running through all, I would say every hatchery has a few different numbers of raceways, but I would say you're going to have two side by side with maybe a total of like 20 raceways or so. And each raceway is going to have a different size fish in it. And as the fish get older, fish get moved down the hatchery. All right. So a lot of the trout we're going to see getting stocked in our waters this time of year are going to be from the 9 to 11 inch range, because that is when their metabolism is really high. So you'll see a lot of those fish in there. I'll get more into that in a minute.
Well, yeah, I want to jump in here to ask you a question a little bit, because the places I just mentioned, like whether it be in McDowell County, Marion, whether it be Armstrong Creek, whether it be Setzer, which is alongside the Davidson, they have intakes for the stream, intakes into the hatchery for these fish, and they feed them and treat them just like a little farm, little babes. But it starts with eggs and incubation and all of that. So will you start with us from, whether it be brown trout, brook trout, rainbow trout, these eggs that they start with, how do you nurture and incubate an egg, a fish egg, if you will, before the fry, which is what comes next? Will you walk us through that little, linear equation and how it comes about?
Yeah, so basically every hatchery, so there's a difference between a hatchery and a farm. So a farm is where you're going to actually raise trout. A hatchery can also be a farm, but a hatchery is where you're actually going to hatch trout. So you have a brood stock, which are normally big males, big females. So sperm is collected from the male males. Eggs are collected from the females. Female eggs are fertilized, and then they are put into a building in trays with cold running water over them, which would simulate how they would be raised in the river. They'd sit in between rocks, and cold water runs over them, and the eggs can grow. Once those eggs hatch, they're not free swimming. They have a yolk attached to them still, and they still need to stay within those trays until they're able to be free swimming. Once they are free swimming, they're put into tiny little raceways where they're then fed and they're able to grow. Once they get into what's called a fingerling size, which is going to be around like 3 to 5 inches or so. You can always correct me if I'm wrong on that size, if you work at a hatchery, if you worked with the state, but that's the fingerling stage. That's when you start to put them into the farm and really start to grow them. You got to feed them a lot. Their metabolism from their fingerling stage up into that maybe we'll say 13-inch, 14-inch range is very high. And you feed them tons and as much as you can. Feed them, feed them, feed them. Grow them, grow them, grow them. And that makes a nice, big, strong fish. Now, what I did want to mention was that this year we should be getting some really big fish, and that's because we got so much rain. Trout need a lot of oxygen, all right? So since we have all this rain and all this fresh water flowing through our hatcheries, that's cooler water, that's more water, that means you can feed the trout more. So the perfect temperature to feed trout in is around 55 degrees. They absolutely go nuts. They love 55 degree water. You can feed them multiple times. They're like piranha. Anything within that fingerling stage or that 14 inch range, it's like watching a school, like an old movie where the piranhas are coming up and just attacking everything when you feed them. Once you get past that range, they start to slow down a little bit. And that's why bigger fish are trickier to catch. But like I said, because of all the rain we got this year, cooler water, more oxygen, that means more feedings, which means past that 14-inch range, we're going to get more of those fish, and we're going to see a lot more of those fish in the stocking this year, if I had to guess. Don't hold me to that, but I'm going to have a pretty good guess. We're going to see a lot of bigger fish stocked this season.
The voice you hear there is Dave Bergman from Jesse Brown's, the Berg Mangler, fishing guide, educator, outfitter, extraordinaire. And we're talking a little bit about fish hatcheries. Most specifically, we're talking about cold water fish hatcheries. Dave has worked in such fish hatcheries, and these hatcheries are about to distribute fish, trout, to rivers across the state of North Carolina, specifically again for the delayed harvest waters and also the hatchery supported waters that get thousands and thousands of these fish. Armstrong State Fish Hatchery has been around since the mid to late 1950s, and they have their own strain of brook and brown trout that have been bred and maintained there for over four decades. So those fish spawn each fall, the eggs are incubated, and then go into the fry, and then, of course, are raised to that fingerling, and then the stockable size, which I think, would you just say?
The most common inches? Size you're going to see is 9 to 11 inches. Is going to be the most common size that you'll see stocked in our rivers. I do want to make this clear, Bill. I worked in a farm, not a hatchery, and I think it's important for people to know the difference, because the hatcheries is where the magic's going on. That's where the fish where they're collecting those eggs and that sperm and creating these trout. And the farm, that's where we get them nice and big, so you can catch them.
Well, we had somebody in from Armstrong into Jesse Brown's. We invite you, of course, to stop by Jesse Brown's for a visit, see Dave, see Bill. But he said just what you said, that this year, 2020, they are going to have an exceptional stocking for the anglers across the state of North Carolina. And anglers that are coming in from other states to fish these trout streams across North Carolina said the delayed harvest waters are going to get some really good fish, hot fish and big fish.
Some good fish, and hopefully there's some holdovers that didn't get caught this summer. Usually you'll see that as brown trout. Now, I did want to talk a little bit about, so everyone talks about, man, it'd be great if this delayed harvest water could, you know, just be catch and release water all year round. So the thing is a couple reasons. The state actually, you know, makes quite a bit of money, so we can keep raising trout and we can keep stocking trout in the future by the people in the summer who are actually harvesting the trout out of the delayed harvest water. The other reason they do that is because the amount of fish they put in the delayed harvest water wouldn't have enough food source to make it through an entire summer. The lucky few that stay in there and then breed and then create wild fish, which is what we all hope for. But if if we were to have these be catch and release all year round, so a lot of these delayed harvest streams are kind of small, they're smaller streams, and there may not be, it can actually impact the amount of aquatic invertebrates that we have in the stream, because all those trout would just be starving, throughout the summer. So it's actually very sustainable for anglers, the ones who want to keep and eat fish, to take them out so we can put new ones in the next year. And then, of course, we get the holdovers. They're going to be the best of the best fish. So then the fish that survive, survival of the fittest, will have the nicest wild fish in those streams.
It's very interesting to me in how all of this works. And, of course, you've talked about farms and working on a farm. We're talking about this cold water state fish hatcheries, again, Armstrong, Marion, and the Setzer State Fish Hatchery over in Transylvania County, near Brevard there, or in Brevard there. I find it interesting that Marion, to your point, you can be both a hatchery and a farm, but Marion, one of their primary things is to supply trout for the that they distribute over, transfer over to the Armstrong hatchery for the final grow out to get those fish to 10 inches. So that happens over at the Marion. Marion has earthen ponds as well, four earthen ponds, but in a little addition, and I guess you knew this, they've been at it since 1926, but they raise goldfish and fathead minnows over at Marion, and those fish species are used for musky forage.
Yeah, there's a couple what they call cool water hatcheries in the state as well. I know there's one in Table Rock, and they'll do smallmouth bass and muskellunge. They do largemouth. They do wiper, or as I call them, hybrid striped bass, and that's a cool water hatchery. I'm not incredibly familiar about where they stock a lot of those species, but if you go on the North Carolina Wildlife Resource Commission website, you can get all that information. So we do have cool water hatcheries in the state too. Very good fish stocking programs here, which really shows you our Carolina outdoors are, they really are thinking about the sportsmen here with all these programs that we have. We don't have to get really into this, but I believe there's also some game farms too for, is it doves and pheasants maybe? I think so. Even our hunters also get that kind of attention here in the state.
The voice you hear there is Dave Bergman. I'm Bill Bartee. This is the Carolina Outdoors. Each week we come in to talk about different outdoor things and people who know about outdoor things. And Dave, that's where you step into play. Dave, you take people on fly fishing trips, whether they're experienced anglers or whether they don't know which end of the fly rod to hold or even what a fly rod is. You do that, and we're booking trips right now so people can go celebrate the stockings of these cold water hatcheries and where these fish are going. Again, thousands of fish, 32 different streams and lakes and ponds that some of the trout go into as well. But you're taking people there because we've had a flood of emails and phone calls with people booking trips for October when the stocking begins.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, if you're interested in learning how to trout fish, or if you're a really experienced saltwater angler and you want to come out and learn how to trout fish, maybe you've done some trout fishing and you just, you need to touch up and you need to learn some new tips and tricks, come on out. I'll take you on the river, and there's no experience needed. You'll learn everything right there, and it's a really good time. It really is, and there's multiple rivers you can go to, and we'd be more than happy to get you out there and enjoy what our state has to offer in trout fishing.
It is amazing, and especially in fall, it's even more amazing. How do you access? That's
really quick, though. I got to interrupt here, but also, we talked a lot about October. Not just October. October to June, even throughout the winter. Winter is one of my favorite times to trout fish. You can trout fish throughout that entire time, and it is fantastic. So come out with us in the winter as well. We got pretty mild winters here, so we're pretty lucky with that. So October all the way to June, get yourself on some trout.
Sounds perfect to me. Sign me up. In fact, October to June, that's one of the beauties of living here in the Carolinas and why we talk about it on the Carolina Outdoors. Our Carolinian friends who are listening know, and of course we're hanging out here at Jesse Brown's throughout the week, but also the Carolina Outdoors has listenership up and down the Eastern Seaboard as people listen to us early on a Saturday morning via the airwaves of WBT Radio. They're also subscribers, subscribing via podcast. That way they can listen any time of the day at their will. You can access that just by simply typing in Carolina Outdoors. Click on the big red bird. You can listen to the segment of your choice. Again, Dave Bergman, Bill Barty, we're talking a little bit about the cold water fish hatcheries here in North Carolina and how they're prepping these thousands of fish to go into the different streams across the state. Also, we mentioned Dave and Jesse Brown's taking people fly fishing, teaching people how to go fly fishing. And again, we have it COVID safe and COVID friendly. So you meet on the stream that is predetermined for the best catch rate and the best learn rate.
And they're easy to get to.
Yes.
You won't get lost.
It's easy to get to. And anyway, how do you contact us? Send an email over to jesse@jessebrowns.com. J-E-S-S-E. jesse@jessebrowns.com. Or call us, 704-556-0020, or simply stop by. Jesse Brown's is located in the heart of the South Park Shopping District in the Sharon Corners Shopping Center, high above the parking lot with the beautiful view, the upstairs outdoor store, if you will. We are excited about fall and about fall fishing and about showing people the Carolina outdoors that we all know and love. Especially, Dave, these days where people have been somewhat scared to try the new norm, if you will, of life in a pandemic and the safety, really, I use that term that way, of being outdoors and spread out a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a great place to be in these times is outside getting some fresh air. And you can really socially distance outside. Actually, throughout this whole pandemic, outdoor activities have not been discouraged. If you're going into the national forest, well, a lot of the national forest is closed, but there are parks and on the river, and you could still go to these places because, you know, you're outdoors. And of course, they want you to socially distance. But I mean, going outdoors is a great way to get your mind off all this. And obviously, cabin fever. A lot of people do. So it is really a great activity, whatever activity you choose outdoors. But fly fishing, I think, will really take a load off anyone's mind. Consider getting into it for sure, especially now.
I will give a heads up that these are small groups. In fact, it's one angler per guide, or actually two people. So for one person, $300. For two people, $375. You meet on this easy to access stream at 8:30 in the morning and learn the great sport of fly fishing. Hey, we're the outdoor guys from Jesse Brown's here on the Carolina Outdoors. We're going to take a quick break and be back with more after these messages.